Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feltman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feltman.
And this is a show about staying sane in a crazy tech world. A lot of crazy stuff has happened, hasn't it, Lauren?
Yeah, it's been an interesting few days. We have to just get TikTok out of the way.
Oh,
in fact, I've said before that we're never going to talk about TikTok again.
Yeah.
I'd like to change that. And
we should just talk about it constantly.
Yeah, for every show forever. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But we'll keep it short. So the latest on TikTok is we don't know who owns it. We don't know who runs it. We don't know if you're allowed to download it. That could end any second. Everything is up in the air.
A DC judge basically rescinded the ban temporarily, but the ban could go ahead at any point, and it could also be purchased by Oracle or Walmart at any second, really, between now and November 12th.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep an eye on it.
Well, I mean, none of this makes sense, obviously. This is all completely ridiculous, but let's, you know what, I don't want to get
I just like the fact that we have a Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead bit for our older audience who knows what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So TikTok is still alive.
It's still, yeah. Okay. It's Schrodinger's app.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go. Speaking of horrible things, there are two horrible things we could talk about today. I think let's start with CoinDesk. Have you been following this CoinDesk information?
A little bit. I know that that's more
Coinbase. I screwed that up completely. That's where I
Coinbase. Big difference.
So Brian Armstrong, CEO of Coinbase, which is a crypto exchange, he posted a sort of a Medium post that basically says no politics. That if you have any opinions on politics, leave the Coinbase doesn't want to hear them, doesn't want to deal with them, and that Coinbase will do no politics. They won't interact with politicians. They won't do any of that stuff. I mean, obviously they will, but they're not gonna do it as a matter of course. So if they come out in terms of pro the destruction of the homeless population and producing hamburgers out of them, they won't do that. They're not going to do that, even though that's a popular SF idea. What do we think about this?
Well, I'm assuming that the pushback was awful, right?
Well, the pushback is the idea that they're not being genuine, that to exist within a vacuum is impossible for a company like Coinbase, and that it's all lip service, primarily aimed at allowing conservatives to give them a safe space so they don't get hassled by, I don't know, whatever, somebody who wants equal rights or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Something awful like that.
Yeah. Presumably Brian Armstrong won't be walking in the Pride Parade is the whole point.
Right. Well, that's awful. I mean, my thoughts on it is this. In theory, sure. You know, okay, I can support that. No politics at all. But like you said, and people pointed out, that's completely ridiculous, especially for a high-tech finance company. They're going to be dealing with all kinds of politics and going to have to kiss all kinds of ass. So it probably would have been better not to do that. In the grand scheme of things, you know, whatever.
I mean, yeah, does it matter that Coinbase is not going to be political? It probably doesn't. I mean, it saves them from a lot of internal heartache where they just basically throw their hands up and say, I don't know, hash it out yourselves, people, I guess.
Or just say nothing.
Yeah.
You know, why even bother drawing any kind of line in the sand? Like, if, you know, the whole point is that you're going to be autonomous and agnostic, or, you know, what above the fray, whatever the word you want to use, if that's going to be your company stance, why is the first thing you do immediately
setting a stance?
Go draw a line in the sand.
I mean, the thing that I don't quite like about this is that it basically, it's sort of a dog whistle to some hardcore libertarian who knows that if they go over there, they can say that eugenically women are worse than men because they have smaller, I don't know, femurs or something like that. And they won't, presumably they won't take an opinion on either way. So if there is like a big, if there is a big outcry about it internally, Coinbase itself won't take a stance.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've already taken
a dream come true, right? It's a
Well, isn't that an extent a lot of that whole industry to begin with is, you know, libertarian, quote unquote. I mean, I don't even believe there are libertarians. Libertarians are just Nazis who don't have the balls to say they're Nazis, but
yeah,
that's a whole other story. But hasn't like the whole crypto industry been strife with that from the beginning?
Well, so you have two sides of the crypto industry. There's the hardcore, like straight up, like everybody sucks, fight it out. You get your crypto, say, be your own bank. The government should not exist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I refuse to interact with society, quote unquote. And that's any subculture. That's the gamers. That's the incels. That's the Reddit weirdos. That's the,
right,
the 4chan people. So straight up, it's like, that's obviously going to be there, but that's a large contingent. Then you kind of have like the softer guys who are just like nice programmer dudes who just are coding for this because they think it's cool, or that they want to make money. And then you have like the hardcore feminist sort of style stuff that's like really, really activist. And I'm not saying that's, I'm not saying any of these, well, I'm saying one of the groups is bad. They're very activist. They're all about equality. They're all about minimum viable income. They're all about changing the world through crypto. And they're very, very, they're very, very pro humanity, let's say, or whatever, or pro open source. And that's sort of your open source zealot, actually, is what you come with. So you basically have the terrible people who are like, screw the world. Then you have the guys who just want to code. And then you have like, let's fix Venezuela with Ethereum.
Right.
And
it's all weird.
Oh yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, even the fix, you know, fix Venezuela with Ethereum guys are nice, but they're weird and crazy too. I mean, I don't know, that whole industry. And I read the other day there's only 2.5 million Bitcoin left. The whole thing is crazy and weird. I don't know. Not into it. I never was.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, if we get too deep into it, then it just becomes a rabbit hole. It's not worth thinking about. And the fact that Coinbase comes out with an opinion on how to think about it is kind of the same thing as having an opinion about politics.
It is, right? Having an opinion. That was my point. Like, if you don't want to be political, fine, don't be political. So the first thing you do is write a political post.
See this? So like, my buddy, John Durek, he wrote, this rubs me the wrong way, partly because no politics is practically endorsing a conservative agenda. If you want to pursue some intellectual purity, why not go all out and say, we want to make money from crypto? That would be the focus. This feels not genuine.
I like that. I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, there should be, in other words, starting a company like Coinbase itself is a political act in itself. So telling people Coinbase is free of politics feels more like Coinbase's politics is very singular and it's all about Coinbase, which is fine. But that's not what he's saying.
Well, I'm not sure if I agree with starting Coinbase unto itself as a political act.
Well, it is.
I think it's a capitalistic act.
Well, okay. So the idea, I've done crypto startups, and the idea that you start a crypto startup primarily to make money is completely feasible right now. But back when they first started, it was a political act. Like, to create something like Coinbase, you basically had to be like one step below freaking Dread Pirate Roberts over there, the Silk Road dude. You basically had to be ready to fight. And they fought tooth and nail, and they got loads and loads of money to do it. But this is disingenuous. It's like, okay, we're not going to take a stance. Fine, don't take a stance. The stance should be, we want to make as much money as we can out of these suckers as quickly as possible. And if we can't pull it off, then we're not going to talk about it too much. That's basically the stance.
Yeah, well, anyway, you know, business as usual with these guys, you know, always with the, they all have to say something and position themselves and this and that. It's just like, I don't know.
Well, they don't have anything else to do because crypto's boring right now. So we got another A16Z company, Clubhouse, which seems to be populated by actual Nazis now, right?
Yeah. So Clubhouse, why don't you explain to the audience what Clubhouse is first?
It's like a thing I've never used the app. So as a journalist, I can't, they don't want me in there. Have you used it?
No, but apparently it is an audio-based chat room.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, yeah. You just sit there and you just like listen to people, or you can talk.
You listen to people, part of a conversation. Apparently there's some, you know, cool tech, whatever.
Nah, it's like, there's no cool
they
tech.
Were give, it's they were, it's yeah. two guys. They were given $1 million by A16 at a $10 million valuation. They also kicked in another $1 million, I believe, or two, for the partners personally. Mm-hmm. So they would get, you know, their $1 million today and can work on this nonsense. And to date, it originally started with VCs, very insider kind of thing. All the top VCs were there. And then from what I understand, outside, that was like the initial beta group. Mm-hmm. And then when they started to spread it out a little bit, they apparently targeted Black professionals. Black creatives, Black creative professionals was like, you know, mm-hmm. their main demo that they went after. And I logged on to Twitter last night after Yom Kippur, and I saw a couple of tweets from seemingly Jewish people, Jewish women, saying that they just logged on to Clubhouse and like the entire site was just anti-Semitic craziness, and they logged right out. And they wouldn't name names. This is starting to piss me off, to be honest.
Well, why isn't anybody naming names? I think you.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
It's like, why do these guys get a pass?
Well, they don't get a pass from me.
Yeah.
Don't get a pass from me. Like Calacanis said that he was there and heard it. And I was like, cool, name him.
Yeah.
And he won't.
No, it's their buddies.
You know, Jason won't name. But, you know, these Jewish broads who were in the place, you know, it's like, name them. I don't understand. I really don't. And this whole I don't want to get like overly Jewy with the show or anything, but it is kind of like a cultural thing that's going on with the anti-Semitism. It's just like getting out of control. Like, I can't even believe that this is America. And Clubhouse, you know, financed by Ben Horowitz. Yeah. And like, he doesn't give a fuck, you know, or.
Well, it's free speech, right?
You know what? I made the most important free speech film perhaps in history. But you know what? You can laugh, but maybe perhaps in history with time. When mm-hmm. you see the people I had in my film, I had Weave, I had Dershowitz, I had David Horowitz, I had Candace Owens, the worst of the worst, the best of the best, regular average Americans. I don't give a shit about free speech.
Yep.
All right. And truthfully, in retrospect, I never should have made the film, and I feel guilty that I did, to tell you the truth. Okay, in retrospect, it was a horrible, horrible idea. And the fact that these people are, you know, have these last names, and I'm not saying be like super Jew. I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not saying that you should let your religion get in the way of your business or your politics or whatever. But the fact that, you know, it goes on Facebook and Zuckerberg makes a statement and doesn't even address it, you know, Like, you know, I understand he doesn't go to shul a lot and is probably not a practicing Jew and all that. And it's, that's fine. I'm not judging anybody else's commitment. But would it kill the guy to say, you know what, this is a particularly difficult issue for me personally, but I'm choosing to side, you know, on free speech? He won't even acknowledge that he's Jewish and these are Nazis on his side. And it drives me crazy. And again, not even like I'm not expecting anybody to be super Jew or whatever. But I believe that you're Polish. Is that correct, Biggs?
Yep.
Okay. So if you were running a site that was constantly doing the dumb fucking Polak thing,
yeah,
and constant Polak jokes, and Polak's fucking rolled over for the Nazis, and Polak, 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 all right? Wouldn't on some core level it bother you?
I do have that power. I do have that power implicitly on, so on Gizmodo, for example, I can just basically ban somebody and I'll ban them all day long. I don't give a shit. There is no free speech on Facebook. There is no free speech on Twitter. There is no free speech on Clubhouse. If you're going to be anti-Semitic, if you're going to be anti-Polak, if you're going to be racist, if you're going to be whatever on any of these things, there should be a dump button. It should be like freaking Club Penguin.
That's the thing that, like, they just don't. Because they're such sociopaths that they need any kind of numbers, any kind of anything to make their piece of shit copycat app, you know, have enough traction to get to the B round.
That's the biggest, you know? Issue.
They can. I mean, all right, Facebook has however many users, 900 million, a billion, yeah, 2 billion, yeah, whatever the bullshit thing, fine. Fucking Clubhouse is two nitwit fucking guys in their room, and they could easily monitor the site and hit delete, and that's that. Well, but they won't, and they don't.
Yeah, and that's the way of all, that's the way and of most Jews, of these social
and Jews finance it.
That's the way of most of these social media things. I mean, the guys who are kicked out or quote unquote kicked out from Reddit, for example, are going to go to Gab because they know that the guy who runs Gab, what's his name? He's a Pole too. I knew the kid. Anyway, he was deeply frustrated by the whole Silicon Valley experience. He went with his hat in hand. He had his big old smile on his face, and he said, "Hey guys, I'm going to build cool stuff. Why don't you fund me?" And he got turned down every single time. And that's exactly what happened. He basically got radicalized because he just couldn't. They wouldn't let him play that game, and I'm kind of radicalized in the same way. They wouldn't let me play that SF game when I was doing startups, and it's like, all right, well, screw you guys. But again,
I know, go ahead, finish.
No, again, if you say something on any of my platforms, my blog, whatever, if I create an app that says like I don't let you share some content, I'll have a filter on there that says you can't curse, and it also has a filter on there that I can eject you. That's table stakes.
But here's the thing that's the killer, dude, is that this guy wasn't turned down. This guy wasn't
these
shunned.
Guys specifically. Yeah, exactly.
He was embraced, mm-hmm. cashed out immediately.
The Gab guy the Clubhouse
guys.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I can understand Andrew Torba getting radicalized.
Torba, yeah.
Yeah, he's pissed, he's this, he's that, he got shunned, blah, 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 he's bitter, there you go. What, these guys were as embraced as you can possibly be. And it still went nuts. They still did nothing about it. And, you know, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. It always goes to anti-Semitism. It's so wild to me. When I was a kid, I never even thought about this stuff. You know, when I was 10, 12, 14, whatever, 15, 16. I mean, up until just, you know, the last 5 years, I mean, I never felt anti-Semitism was an issue in this country. Now I'm convinced that, you know, every goy other than you and maybe five other of my goyish friends want me dead. I mean, it's completely insane, man.
I mean, you had plenty of other stuff to make fun of back then. If you watch sitcoms or whatever, it's always like you always have a gay character, African American character is basically just a stereotype, and you never really had a Jewish stereotype character. Now the lid is off, right? So everybody gets attacked, and you guys get it double because you didn't have it for I don't know, a decade.
Well, you know, that could be argued either way, but I don't get it. I don't get it. Yeah. I really don't. So,
all right. Well, don't use Coinbase. Don't use Clubhouse. And for God's sake, don't use TikTok, I think is really the answer.
All right. And you're a good Pole who likes Jews, right?
I'll protect you if shit goes down.
We'll stand shoulder to shoulder against fascism, Biggs.
Of course.
Perfect. All right.
This has been anti-fascist, anti-fat, Antifa, the Antifa episode of Tech Hygiene. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
We'll see you next week. Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.